NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Here is William Littauer.
Two U.S. barracks buildings are reported to have received direct hits during a communist shelling attack today. The barracks are part of a major military communications center near Da Nang. For the brunt of the attack, just before dawn, there is no report on the number of casualties. North Vietnam has protested to the International Control Commission over the recent shelling of its coast by American warships. The Hanoi message termed the attacks a new and extremely serious step of war escalation by the United States. The U.S. military command in Saigon described the warship's targets as railroad facilities around Than Hoa, used to dispatch supplies to communist troops in South Vietnam. The Soviet newspaper Pravda joined the protest against the shellings. Pravda accused the United States of escalating the war at a time when real conditions for peace have been created. On the ground, American and South Vietnamese infantrymen engaged in heavy fighting only 20 miles from Saigon. Heavy losses are reported on both sides. South Korea's White Horse Division reports it killed 22 communist guerrillas flushed from mountain caves in the south central area of Vietnam. The Koreans are described by the Viet Cong as the most numerous and barbarous of America's allies in Vietnam. The description was carried in a North Vietnamese broadcast. The U.S. Marine commander in Vietnam contends the influx of North Vietnamese troops into South Vietnam has contributed to skidding communist popularity. Admitting there is no accurate poll in the Vietnamese hinterlands, Lieutenant General Louis Walt maintains the steady stream of war refugees presents a solid indicator of popular sentiment. Walt says the replacement of hometown Viet Cong troops with northern regulars has reduced the effectiveness of the call to battle for a common cause. The Marine commander reports the independent Central Vietnamese don't like or trust the Northerners and find little in common with them. The CIA drew both Senate criticism and defense today. The comments were made on a special NBC News Meet the Press program. A report from NBC News correspondent Douglas Kiker.
Senator Joseph Clark of Pennsylvania said he believes the Central Intelligence Agency could cut back on its clandestine activities overseas without any great harm being done. But Senator Henry Jackson of Washington, a member of the Congressional CIA Watchdog Committee, vigorously disagreed.
I couldn't disagree more. I think the challenge that we face, as far as the youth of the world is concerned, and as far as the labor movements are concerned, is greater today than before. The threat in South America, college after college has been infiltrated, by the communists.
Senator Henry Jackson. Senator Jackson also said he believes Congress currently exercises proper control over the CIA. Senator Clark said he doesn't know if that's the case or not. To find out, he said Congress should launch a full investigation. This is Douglas Kiker, NBC News, Washington.
22 Japanese police were injured fighting some 1,500 demonstrators outside the United States Air Base at Tachikawa today. The demonstrators were protesting proposed extensions of the base to allow bigger military transport planes to use it. Swedish scientists report the Soviet Union has exploded a nuclear device of intermediate to high power yield. In Washington, officials of the Atomic Energy Commission placed the equivalent explosive force between 200,000 and 1 million tons of TNT. The device was apparently detonated underground. At Geneva, Western officials cite two major problems for holding up progress on a treaty banning the spread of nuclear weapons. The first, late U.S. insistence on international controls to police the treaty. The second, a demand by neutral nations for guarantees under the treaty that they won't be subjected to atomic blackmail. Negotiators are quoted as saying it would be impossible for the United States and Russia to sign an ironclad agreement under which both powers would pledge protection to non-nuclear nations. The Communist Chinese Red Guards have been ordered to purge their own ranks. Peking Radio reports many of the zealous Guard members are guilty of the same counter-revolutionary crimes as the opponents they ousted. The radio editorial warned the pro-Mao power struggle will fail unless the Red Guards rid themselves of so-called impure elements. A Shanghai Wall poster charges some who seize power in Mao's name are now enjoying the easy life of the power holders they had condemned and overthrown. Another possible thorn is reported in Hong Kong in the relationship between Communist China and the Soviet Union. An English-language newspaper reports party chairman Mao Zedong complained his office was bugged with a microphone. The tabloid paper Star quotes reliable sources inside China as saying Mao suspected his one-time confidential secretary collaborated with the Russians to place the microphone. The secretary, Yang Chongquen, has since been purged. European communist parties are planning a conference on European security April 24th through the 27th in Czechoslovakia. The foreign ministers of 20 Western Hemisphere nations have formally approved a six-point agenda for an April summit conference. President Johnson will attend the meeting in Punta del Este, Uruguay. William Letower, NBC News, Washington.
Listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News.
Monitor News from the zoos. At Franklin Park Zoo in Boston, the keepers were concerned this week about a pregnant camel. She was 2 months overdue and had developed some peculiar dietary cravings. While nobody was looking, she ate 2 oak trees. You talk about your midnight snacks, Doc. Music maestro, please. Spanish Eyes, Reuben Mitchell. Washington will be our subject for discussion 3 minutes from now. My name is Morgan. The game here is Monitor First Move Music.
Skitch Henderson and the orchestra, and that was All. Here's some.
When you're driving in your car, going near or going far, chewing gum while on the go helps you keep alert, you know. Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew your little troubles away. Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Chewing helps you concentrate. You'll agree the flavor's great. Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Get some soon.
A little name calling here. We'll call the place Washington, D.C., and the reporter, Ray Farkas, NBC News.
Shakespeare wrote that famous line, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." That kind of approach may have been okay for Shakespeare, who wasn't running for anything, but for a politician who's trying to get elected, he's dead unless he can remember names. Gaylord Nelson, twice governor of Wisconsin and, since 1962, Senator Nelson, talks about this occupational hazard at a recent meeting in Washington.
It's nice to come to a meeting where when some politician walks up or some person walks up who really know but you can't think of his name, he at least says, "I'm so-and-so." Not, "I'll bet you don't know who I am," doesn't you know? And we politicians have to deal with that frightful thing which I like to call the name game syndrome. I've always thought we ought to pass some kind of law that would benefit us once in a while after all the good works we do for everybody else. And all that law would have to require is that when you come up to a politician, you introduce yourself and say your name so that the guy can say, "Well, I remember you very well." I'm looking forward, as I'm sure all of you are, to the day, not too soon, I hope, when I won't be running for office again, so that when somebody comes up to me and says, "Senator, I'll bet you don't know who I am," I can say no, and I really don't give a...
The senator, fortunately, doesn't have the kind of trouble that faced Don Quixote, whose memory was so bad that, at times, he couldn't remember his own name. And Nelson has ways to lick the memory problem, though he doesn't recommend this one.
All of us have sought through various techniques to overcome this great problem. And I devised an original one of my own on the spot one day in the 4th District in Milwaukee, which is heavily Polish. I got, as a Norwegian, great trouble pronouncing those Polish names. And I was... campaigning over in the 4th District, and a gentleman who looked very familiar came on up and held out his hand, and my administrative assistant was wrong. I couldn't think of his name. And assuming he was Polish, I said, "How do you pronounce your name?" He says, "Hansen." I was already stuck, so I...
North Vietnam was quick to react today to the shelling of coastal supply routes by U.S. Navy ships. North Vietnam protested to the International Control Commission and charged that the naval bombardments are an extremely serious step of war escalation. The U.S. command announced today for the first time that Navy ships are using their guns to supplement the air attacks on supply routes leading from north to south. The Navy's big guns were used to shell a railway yard and ammunition dump near two different cities. The Navy says the weather was too bad around the targets to make any estimate of damage done. However, Hanoi Radio says there was damage and loss of life as a result of the shelling, but did not go into detail. The bad weather kept air attacks against the North down to about a third the normal number. No significant fighting is reported from the biggest American ground action of the war, Operation Junction City, near the Cambodian border. In another ground action north of Saigon, an American infantry company, about 170 men, suffered heavy casualties during an hour-long mortar barrage. More news after this message from Wynn's Products.
Presenting the Wynn Oil Company Chorale under the direction of John Philip Azusa. Now, speaking for the Wynn Oil Company, Mr. Keenan Wynn.
Thank you. This is Keenan Wynn. It has come to my attention that many of you still think I'm related to the Wynn Oil Company people of Azusa. We do spell our name the same way, W-Y-N-N. But the relationship ends there. In other words, I want to assure you that I didn't get this job because I'm a cousin or a nephew. I did get the job because I know Wynn's products. I've used them, and they're good. At your service station, ask for Wynn's famous friction proofing, Wynn's engine tune-up, Wynn's new charge, and many more. All designed to keep your car going strong by the Wynn Oil Company of Azusa.
Azusa, California.
Again, Wilson Hall. Barry Goldwater said today he thinks if the United States decides to build a missile system to knock down enemy missiles, we ought to break the nuclear test ban treaty because it would severely handicap any defense system. General Earl Wheeler, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, had his comments on the anti-ballistic missile system and other matters on NBC's Meet the Press program. NBC's Pentagon correspondent Robert Gorowski reports from Washington.
General Wheeler admitted that basic differences do exist between the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Defense Secretary McNamara. They're wide apart in the need for an anti-ballistic missile system, which General Wheeler thinks is essential. They're split in their assessment of Soviet military intentions and, to some extent, the effectiveness of the bombing of North Vietnam. But General Wheeler added,
I wouldn't say it's exceptional to the point of being completely unheard of, Mr. Childs, that we do not agree with the Secretary of Defense. However, I think that you should know, and the American people should know, that the occasions when we disagree and the subjects about which we disagree are very few indeed.
General Wheeler also said that the communist Chinese will probably be a direct military threat to the United States in 10 to 15 years. Robert Gorelski, NBC News, Washington.
Meet the Press will have a special one-hour program today when key persons in the current CIA controversy face questioners. NBC Radio will carry that program tonight. British newspapers today said rumors that the marriage of Princess Margaret and Lord Snowden are in stormy waters were so strong that Buckingham Palace ought to deny the reports. Buckingham Palace has made no comment and probably will not. More in a moment.
Do you know what union collective bargaining is? It occurs when employees sit down with their employer to establish wages, hours, and working conditions to the mutual satisfaction of both parties. In the retail field, over 500,000 members of the Retail Clerks International Association bargain successfully every year. The results are seen in increased wages, improved working conditions, many on-the-job benefits. For more information, write to the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., 20036.
Swedish scientists say their seismographs recorded a big underground explosion from somewhere in the Central Asian plains of Russia. They say the Russian explosion, the biggest reported in more than a year, was probably an underground nuclear test. The U.S. Atomic Energy Commission says it, too, recorded seismic signals from Russia, indicating an atomic test. In Japan, more than 1,000 leftist students and labor union members clashed with police today. The leftists were demonstrating near the U.S. air base at Tachikawa. That's just outside of Tokyo. They were protesting American plans to expand the airbase at Tachikawa. 10 of the demonstrators were arrested for throwing stones at policemen. Wilson Hall, NBC News, New York.
Listen again on the hour when the Retail Clerks International Association brings you NBC Monitor News. You sports fans will be delighted to know that the first international paper airplane competition has just been held at the Hall of Science, Flushing Meadow, New York. There were over 10,000 paper airplanes entered. 7 winners were finally selected in 4 categories: duration aloft, distance flown, aerobatics, and origami. Hmm? Oh, origami. That's a Japanese paper folding. Among the winners was a retired Navy captain and a professor of sociology. Doesn't it make you feel as if you were born about 30 years too soon? Look there, they're giving out trophies for what used to get me kicked out of class.
Thank you.
Hello. Morgan here from Monitor on this 25th day of February, 67th year of the 20th century. In this half hour, Eddie Arnold, Jane Morgan, The Arbors, an interview with author-actor Robert Shaw, who might have become a professional athlete if he hadn't turned to acting. First, we'll hear from Mr. and Mrs. Steve Lawrence. The honeymoon is over.
When your husband doesn't touch your best dessert, when you find the purple lipstick on his shirt, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over, and you better be on the alert.
When your wife decides that she should wear the pants, when she puts you down each time she gets the chance, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over, and you'd better search for some romance.
Time you saw ya, old trusty lawyer, ask him whether he's find another nest to feather.
When your husband suddenly becomes a swell,
when your wife is bored by every joke you tell, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over.
In the movie A Man for All Seasons is a talented gentleman named Robert Shaw, who is an author as well as an actor. And as if that weren't enough, he's an athlete of almost professional caliber. Reporter Charlie Holmes interviewed Mr. Shaw about his enthusiasm for some of the more strenuous sports.
Robert Shaw, I understand that at one time you coached rugby.
Oh, yes, I did.
Was this professional or amateur?
No, amateur. Amateur. Well, there are two kinds of rugby in England, you know, professional and amateur. And the amateur game is the dominating game. Very few people play professional rugby in England.
Why is the amateur game the dominating
Because in our country, what do you call the public school, which is the equivalent of your private school, all the boys who go to the expensive schools play rugby, and they don't play soccer. You know, this is a class thing in England. The thing is that the upper-class person, the middle-class person, plays rugby football. And I was a rugby coach before I became an actor. But I was, in fact, good enough. I was a state player at rugby, and I was offered a professional rugby league contract when I was 17.
Rugby and our game of football are somewhat similar, but how do they differ most?
Well, they differ most in as much as, well, tactically speaking, of course, we cannot pass the ball forward. It can only be passed backward, like your lateral pass. It's as if we have no quarterback, we can't throw the ball forward. Secondly, the same 15 men play the whole game, like you used to have before it was all changed. Thirdly, we have no protection whatsoever, because you can only tackle the man who's got the ball. So no such thing as blocking. That's obstruction. So we play the whole 90 minutes or whatever it is. There's no protection.
But, of course, it's not quite so bad because, naturally, if you're playing rugby and you've got the ball, you know you're going to be hit, but at least you know you're going to be hit. I mean, all the injuries are caused here by people who are caught when somebody hits them in the back, I mean, more or less.
Right.
That's the rough difference.
Which do you like to play, a contact sport or a non-contact sport?
To tell you the honest truth, we talk about my writing and being an actor, but I like more than anything any kind of sport, as long as the man I'm playing with is not a good loser. I hate good losers. I just love people who... My greatest friend, I play about six games with on Sundays, and my whole object is to reduce him to tears. The day I came in and my wife went into the sitting room and found him sitting there with the curtains drawn and no lights on and the tears rolling down his face at his defeat was, I think, the happiest day of my life.
I'm told that you were once the English amateur champion in squash.
Yeah, well, this is the funniest mistake. This is on the blurb of my new book. Now, it's just one of those mistakes. I'm so ashamed of it because if it goes back to England, I'll be a laughingstock. I am a very good squash player, and I am a state player, and I have played in the English Amateur Championship, which is pretty hard to play in, but I didn't win it. I love that mistake. That's really very nice, but I did not win it.
Soccer is coming to this country, and I understand the people in your part of the world go absolutely wild with soccer. Why?
Well, that is our national game. That's like your American football game to the English. Cricket, you know, is a dying sport in England. Soccer is the game. So, in fact, of course, outside this country, soccer is the world game. I've just done Custer in Spain, and they have the police barricades there because of the passion of the spectators. This is true, of course, in Brazil, you know. Referees, in Ghana the other day, one was murdered, you see. One of the so incensed by the crowd, they all ran on the pitch and murdered him.
It's quite safer to be a player than a referee, and that's
certainly is safer to be a player.
Thank you, Robert Shaw, leading actor and prize-winning author, and star of the motion picture A Man for All Seasons, for a very pleasant visit.
Thank you.
Hardly seems fair, all that talent and muscles, too.
If there's but one strand of hair on top of your head, give it a break before it drops dead. Even a kid who's got more than his share should make extra sure he shampoos it with care. So pick up a tube of Breck Concentrate Shampoo. Cleans each strand so gently it's a hair saver for you. And the whole family will have hair that looks great because Breck quality is in Breck Concentrate. Sounds quite expensive? Then price it. You'll see how much can be saved when you buy quality. If you've a strand to your name, shampoo it with care. Try Breck Concentrate. It cleans every hair.
That my heart is secure. are dry with a warm glow inside. And this love of mine, till the end of the line, that's always the time that I'm lonely again.
A new one from Eddie Arnold, Lonely Again. You're tuned to Monitor at 18 minutes after the hour. My name is Morgan. You're on the Monitor Beacon. A song about something I'd like very much to do because I hate Mondays. Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye.
What Alice said at the charity bazaar, I told her a thing or two. Fred?
When you can't afford to be dull, sharpen your wits with No-Doze. No-Doze Keep Alert tablets or new chewable mints, safe as coffee, help you become more naturally alert to people and conditions around you.
Sharpen your wits with No-Doze. No-Doze keeps you alert.
40,000 troops are presently engaged in the biggest offensive of the Vietnam War, Operation Junction City. NBC correspondent Jack Russell, remembering the old saying that to a soldier the front line is 1 yard wide, talked to PFC Campus Johnson as he was preparing his 1 yard for the night to come.
What are you doing there right now?
We are digging
3x6 That way we can be ready just in case the enemy comes. And after we get the 3x6, we'll extend the bunker wider, make it more fortified, top of firing ports. And so we camouflage it, make it cut the outline of the bunker. Maybe at night or during daytime, it won't look too much like a bunker. It's hard work.
I can see that. You're expecting a little trouble?
Maybe after a couple feet down, we may hit water. Man, that will be some trouble.
That's the trouble. You're going to have to make your home in several feet of rather cool water tonight.
We may have to take some steel pots and dump water. Box them. I hope not. I hope you don't hit any type of water down there.
Does that artillery that's going off bother you any?
No, it sounds good.
That's keeping them away from you. Is that the idea?
That's very true.
What's your name?
PFC Campus Johnson.
And where are you from?
New York City.
Would you like to be back in New York right now?
Sure. It is true. I would like to be back there. But now I have 45 days to go. So I'll be leaving soon. Right back to the States.
What are you going to do when you get back there?
Well, I'm going to relax for a couple of months. Say hello to the girls. And after I relax for a little while, get adjusted back to the civilization and whatnot, give me a job.
You don't like the job you got right now?
Not too much. But I enjoy it in a way because we're in a combat condition, and this is what something that we have to do. And to keep alive, you have to enjoy your work if you want to get out of here. So I really don't like it, but I just get myself adjusted to this type of living because this is what I have to do. And I try to make the best of it. That's all I have to say. I got to get back to work, try to get this whole dug, try to get ready for Charlie if he comes this way tonight. That's if he comes.
One man's view of the biggest battle of the Vietnam War. On Weekend Report, NBC News will present a special report on Operation Junction City. That's later today, right here.
This is your NBC station. This is the pulse of the nation. For news and music, sounds and confusing to pay.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a lark
today. I like the taste. Simple as that.
Have a lark today.
I think everybody who smokes should try Lark.
There's nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark today.
Great smoke, bright-eye change.
Hey, there's nothing like a lark.
Have a lark today.
There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
You're tuned to Monitor, wherever you are, at home or in your car, anywhere around the USA. In Idaho, station KIDO serves Boise and Treasure Valley. Now let's hear the letters of all our NBC stations, then we'll be back. Driving this weekend? Take Monitor with you on the NBC Radio Network. It's the peak of the ski season at Hunter Mountain, and to provide an unbelievable base, Hunter is making snow to add more to the deep snow the storm left. Hunter Mountain, Route 23A, 19 miles from Thruway Exit 21.
Wait a minute. Stop all that rushing about. Sit down for half an hour and talk with me, Martha Brooks. Here on WGY Schenectady.
Monitor is glad to pass along this conversation. The judge says to the pickpocket, "Have you anything to say before I pass sentence on you? You've never done a single thing for the good of mankind in your whole life." And the pickpocket said, "Oh, I don't know. I've kept five detectives and you working fairly regularly."
What is she made of? Why is a woman afraid of not being in love? What is a woman? What does she long for? Why is it wrong for a woman alone? Young girls are April with rainbows and changes. One day they grow up and April is over forever. To be a woman means being lonely. That's why a woman is only alive when in love. Young girls are
Hello, this is Morgan from Monitor, your weekend companion for music, sports, news, and comedy. In the latter department just ahead, comedian Bob Newhart explores what might go on in a bus driver's school. First, some Monitor music. Here's the United States Double Quartet. Life is groovy. You sleep in parks. You're a bum. Now Monitor on stage. Star performances recorded live in leading theaters, nightclubs, and concert halls around the country. Do you think bus drivers annoy their passengers because they have a natural talent for it? Not at all. They have to be trained, if we're to believe comedian Bob Newhart.
I'd like to take one of the students, Johnson. You want to get in the bus, Mr. Selkirk, you want to get back to your marks back there? Good. Here's the situation, Johnson. You've just pulled into a stop. You've discharged your passengers, and out of the rearview mirror, you notice this old woman running for the bus. Okay. You want to start running now, Mr. Selkirk? Okay. Let's see how Johnson goes about handling. Hold it, Johnson. You're pulling out much too fast, Johnson. See, she gave up about halfway in the block, you see. Yeah, what you want to do is just kind of gradually ease out, you see, so you're always holding out the hope they may be able to catch the bus. Oh, another thing you want to watch, a lot of these old women, they'll run at three-quarter speed, you see. Then they'll put on a final burst and they'll catch up with the bus, so. Mrs. Selkirk, I think this will be the last one. You be the woman with the packages on this one, all right? Okay, Graham, on this one, I'm going to stand behind you because you can't be expected to know this. It's going to take time and a lot of practice. All right, you want to get on the bus, Mrs. Selkirk? Yes. All right, fumble for your change. All right, now start heading toward the back of the bus. That's it. All right, hit your accelerator. All right, hit the brake. Hit the accelerator again. Now your brake. All right, you see how she spun all the way to the front of the bus that time? That's going to take a little practice, a lot of time, though. If you have a hold of another passenger, you may hit your brake too soon. All I can tell you is don't get discouraged. Within 5-6 months, you'll have all of them spinning right to the front of the bus. Okay, now let's all get in our individual buses and start practicing. And just remember, it's accelerator, brake, accelerator, brake. Okay, for homework tonight, we're going to mispronounce the names of streets.
He forgot to mention the course they take in catching your briefcase in the door as you get off. Here's Tony Martin to sing, "And We Were Lovers."
I saw you smiling as if I could forget, and we were lovers the moment that we met, and we would wander content to wander.
I'm Morgan from an old generation.
And I played monitor this afternoon. I think we came out even. Bye.
General Earl G. Wheeler, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, will meet the press today on the NBC radio network.
This is Stein Erickson speaking from Sugarbush, Vermont. You skiers who have just had a great weekend on the slopes, why not live and work in ski country all year long? Here is your opportunity to do just that. IBM in Burlington, Vermont, needs more engineers, programmers, accountants, and scientists. If you qualify, you could have a go-places career with IBM, and you would have some of the country's best ski resorts in your backyard. But skiing is only part of the story. There is great hunting, fishing, boating, and hiking in the Burlington area, too.
You're right, Stein. You skiers who haven't yet had an interview with IBM, be sure to write to the company early this week. Just send an outline of your education and experience to IBM Corporation, Burlington, Vermont. That's IBM Corporation, Burlington, Vermont. You'll hear from IBM within a week. IBM is an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Bill Edwardson asking you to start your day on the right note with the Breakfast with Bill Show. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10 here on WGY, WGFM, Schenectady.